Every year at CCV, I do a State of the Church message where we look back at the challenges we've accomplished the past year and we look ahead at the opportunities that God has placed before us. We also revisit our mission and vision as a church. And on all of our campuses, as you leave today, you will find this annual report, and I'm only going to cover a few things in this. So one per family, I want to encourage you all to pick one of these up, and you'll find out our complete annual report for the year. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. It's our vision at CCV that motivates us to action. It's our vision that gives us the confidence to risk great things for God, because we truly believe we can reach this valley for Jesus Christ. CCV exists to win people to Christ, train believers to become disciples, and send disciples to impact the world. You see, our vision is very similar to Jesus' vision. I want us today to look closely at His vision and strategy to change the world. We exist to win people to Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. It says this in verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. You see, Jesus did not invite his followers to be involved in meetings. He called them to be a part of a transformational community with a cause that would change the world. These people that Jesus called were busy men. They had hard, stressful jobs. Some had families. Some were involved in community activities. Some were involved in political action. But when Jesus called them, he called them to something significant, so vital that they would leave their jobs and their interests behind and walk away from it all. You see, the purpose of his mission was outward focused. The mission was to take the gospel to the whole world. Inward focused visions rarely survive long term. I'm going to repeat that. Inwardly focused visions rarely survive long term. Our vision is outward focused. It's not about us, because the church does not exist for itself. It doesn't exist for us as members. It exists to impact the world for Jesus Christ. It exists for those that aren't yet a part of our church. You see, not everyone Jesus invited decided to follow him. Some argued, some refused, some began to follow, but they realized the costs were too great and the teaching was too difficult, and they walked away. But some gave up everything to follow Jesus. And those who gave up everything to follow Jesus literally changed the world. So what's it going to take for us as a church on all of our campuses to win people to Jesus Christ? First of all, we must be obedient. Jesus said, come follow me. And the Bible says, at once they left their nets. You see, all of us as Christians know we have the responsibility to share our faith, but very few of us do it. According to Barna Research, 57% of low-income Christians shared their faith in the past 12 months, in the past year. 52% of upper-income Christians shared their faith, and only 37% of middle-income Christians talked to anybody about Jesus in the past year. That means, if you kind of put that together, 5 out of 10 believers never talked to anybody about Jesus in the past year. We'll never reach the valley for Jesus Christ with that. Knowing what we're supposed to do is one thing, but doing it is something very different. That's why if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, you must be willing to be obedient to God's call on your life to share his love with others. Secondly, we need to be intentional. He says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Wait a minute. Their occupation was catching fish, and he said, we're going to intentionally make some changes here. You see, once you get a vision of what God wants to do with your life, nothing can stop you. You think about it every day, you're intentional. You say, well, how are we intentional? You get up every day and you pray by name for those that you want to share the gospel with. Because I have found if you simply say, Lord, I want to pray for my neighbors, that's not good enough. I want to pray for my coworkers. You got to put a name and face. Be specific. Be intentional about who it is that you want to reach. Look for divine opportunities to be interrupted. when you're going to the mailbox and you're in a hurry and they stop and want to talk, look at that as a divine interruption. Or when you're walking your dog and you meet a neighbor on the street and you stop and you engage in conversation, then step back and be thankful for interruptions. If I look at the ministry of Jesus, He was awesome at taking advantage of interruptions. He didn't go out of his way to meet people, but he made himself available to everybody that crossed his path. Be intentional, be obedient. Thirdly, be strategic. Every fisherman is strategic. They choose the right bait. They know the depth of the fish. They know the best time of the day to fish. If we're strategic, we've got to say, wait a minute, of all these people that God's placed in my life, which one will be the easiest to reach for Jesus Christ? And so you've got to get to know their interests. You must know their hobbies. You say, what are some things that these people have in common? And then you got to say, who is the most receptive? Is it going to be the children? Is it going to be the teenager or mother or dad? We got to be strategic. CCV is very strategic and specific about who we're trying to reach. You know why? Because we realize we cannot effectively reach everybody, and so we've tried to narrow our focus to be more effective. And so, as you know, our strategic focus is, first of all, we want to reach the man so we can reach the whole family. Doesn't mean we don't care about women. It simply means that statistics show you're much more effective at reaching the whole family if you go after the father. Because it says if the mother becomes a Christian, it's less than 20% of the time the whole family follows Christ. But if the dad becomes a Christ follower, 90% of the time the whole family follows Jesus Christ. So we believe that's the most effective way. Dads, want you to know and love, we're coming after you. We want you to step up and be the man of God to lead that God created you to be. Secondly, we want to reach our neighbors so we can change our culture. And I want you to know that reaching our neighbors is a very difficult ministry challenge. It's easier to go downtown and feed the homeless. It is easier to go on a mission trip around the world than every day be consumed with trying to build relationships and reach your neighbors. Why was the early church in the book of Acts so successful? Because the early Christians had a radical lifestyle that attracted the attention of their neighbors. Now, that's why relationship is more important than an invitation to a group. Listen carefully, because I think I've probably been unclear in talking about some things in our neighborhood ministry. And we say, invite your neighbors to your group. I want you to know that that's not the first step, that's the fifth step. The first step is you got to build a relationship with your neighbors. Because if you say, if you don't know your neighbors, hey, I want you to come to my neighborhood group, they're gone. But once you get to know them and build a relationship with them and do things with them, then you will earn their trust. And then you can invite them to your group. Third thing we want to do is reach the younger generation so we have a future. Statistics say that 43% of people accept Jesus before age 13, and 64% accept Jesus before age 18. And that's why this church invests on all of our campuses incredible resources in reaching our children's ministry and our youth ministry. Statistics say that many young people are walking away from church and their faith after high school. That's why you heard me say a few weeks ago, a new book that I read that said on emotional maturity, that it says today 26 and 27-year-olds have the same emotional maturity of a generation ago's 18-year-olds. This year, we're going to strategically try to say, what can we do to be more effective at reaching the 20-year-olds in our churches on all of our campuses, because many of them are floundering in their faith. So how are we doing at winning people to Jesus Christ? Our goal is to grow at least 10% in all of our areas. Last year, we baptized 1,892. It was 11% increase, and that's really what it's all about. It's not about building buildings. It's about people who are making an eternal decision that will change the direction of their lives. Almost 2,000 baptized into Christ. Our attendance last year increased 13%. We average for the year on the weekends 21,163. We praise God for that. October was an incredible month. Last year, we also added our fourth campus in the East Valley. And after just a few months, attendance is up, offerings up. The people in the East Valley are doing an incredible job of inviting their friends and their neighbors. And I want to say to all them, Great job. Let's praise God for the people that have given their lives to Christ on all of our campuses. Secondly, we exist to train believers to become disciples. Look what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 10. He called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. You look later on in Matthew 17, he brought them back together. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and said, "Why couldn't we drive the demon out?" In other words, they tried to cast out a demon. They couldn't do it, but Jesus cast out the demon. They said, "Why couldn't we do that?" He said, "Because you have so little faith." Do you ever feel like you need more faith? Man, I do. I can relate to the disciples' frustration. They'd been following Jesus for some time. They'd seen him perform miracles. And then they were sent out to do the same thing. He was sending them out on a training mission, and they fell short. I've been a Christian for over 55 years, a pastor for over 45 years. And I want you to know I continually fall short of what Jesus expects of me as his follower. All of my prayers don't get answered. I often feel inadequate in my faith, but I truly want to become more and more like Jesus. And so this year, we're going to give a lot of attention on how do we move new believers to mature disciples? How do we grow in our spiritual journey? Let me suggest two or three things. First of all, I think you need to do an assessment. You need to do an evaluation, and you need to say, what is my current spiritual maturity level? In other words, where am I? Am I someone that puts God first? Am I someone that loves God but puts myself first? Big difference. Or am I someone that pretty much, I believe in God, but I really live for myself? Where are you in your spiritual maturity? Secondly, then you ask yourself, where am I growing? What's some areas that I see myself growing, and what are the areas that I need to improve? And so we're going to try and help everybody in our church this year do an assessment evaluation so we can simply say, where are we? Secondly, you must develop an action plan. That's what Jesus did. He sent his disciples out to do ministry. He gave them specific instructions: drive out evil spirits, heal the sick, preach the gospel. Okay, we have action plans to lose weight, to work out, life coaching. What's your action plan in 2014 for spiritual growth? Do you want to read through the Bible this year? Do you want to find a place where you can serve consistently? Do you want to begin to trust God with your finances? Do you want to have a quiet time where you pray every day? What's your action plan? Thirdly, then, we must determine the accountability. This is where I think we often fall short. You see, Jesus followed up with his disciples after their ministry mission. He shared with them the things they needed to do to go to the next level. They said, "Why can't we do that?" He said, "You guys don't have enough faith. You haven't been trusting me and being obedient enough." And I want to ask you, who are you accountable to for your spiritual growth? We're accountable in other areas of our life. Spiritually, who are you accountable to increase your faith? Are you involved in a neighborhood group? Do you have a mentor? Do you have a friend, someone that helps you get to the next level? The good news is over 8,000 members are involved in our neighborhood groups. And that means many of these people have said, I want to acknowledge I need some better accountability in my life. And we believe God created us not to go through life alone, but God created us for community. That's the good news. Over 8,000 are involved. The bad news, 60% of our members are not yet involved in neighborhood groups. And I want to tell you, our church is designed on all of our campuses that you've got to be involved in a small group relationship for growth. You can't grow by just coming to the big weekend service. You need each other. You're going to go through struggles in your life this year where you're going to say, man, I wish I had somebody to go through this journey with me. My experience as a pastor is most Christians don't have an action plan for spiritual growth. Most Christians have not put themselves under spiritual accountability, and because of that, most of us coast and plateau in our faith. This month, we're going to call every member on all of our campuses. Oh, thousands of them. Everybody is going to get a personal call, and we're going to share three things. First thing we're going to say is, listen, this theme this year is the power of one. You matter to God, and you matter to us. You are important. Secondly, we're going to say, how can we pray for you? Thirdly, we're going to let you make you aware of a CCV connection event that will happen on Sunday, March the 2nd, where we're simply getting all of the CCV members that live in a certain area, just getting them together. This is not a bait and switch to get you involved in a neighborhood group. It is simply to get you to know the people in your neighborhood that go to the same campus that you go to. And so when you get a phone call, please be receptive to their phone call. All right? CCV exists to win people to Christ, train believers to become disciples, and send disciples to impact the world. Matthew chapter 28. Then Jesus came to his disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go." Circle, "therefore go." "And make disciples." Underline, "make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." Rick Warren said, "The great commandment plus the great commission makes a great church." It's true. We show our love for God and our love for our neighbors by sharing Jesus Christ with them. You see, our effectiveness as a church is not in how many we can get to attend all four of our campuses. Our effectiveness is determined by how many we send each week into the marketplace and the schools and the neighborhood. So our effectiveness is not our attending power, it's our sending power. Get those stickers on your cars, all right? So you're out there impacting the community. Where is God sending you to make a difference? I want us to look at three areas where we can make a difference. Number one, make a difference in your church. How do you do that? Make a decision to serve consistently. At CCV, we have an incredible number of ministry partners, volunteers. We have over 7,000 people every week that step up to help us do ministry. Now, you know why that's so interesting and so different? Most pastors I talk to, between 45 and 65% of their budget is used for staff salaries and benefits. At CCV, we're at 32%. That releases way more ministry to reach more people for Jesus Christ. Why is serving so important? Because when you serve, it allows you to be a part of the vision. When you serve, you get to see life change firsthand. And when you serve, the weekend worship takes a totally different experience. Because if you're not serving and you don't see God doing anything in your life during the week, when you come to worship, it's kind of like raising the dead. On the other hand, if you see God working in your life and in other people's lives around you during the week, when you come together, it is a celebration to rejoice in what God is already doing. Would you make a difference in your church? Secondly, make a difference outside your church. The word church means called out ones. It wasn't until the 4th century that the word church even began to refer to a building. And so it's not that we go to church, we are the church. Jesus said in his Great Commission, "Therefore go." Not an option, but a command. The correct structure should read more like this: "As you go, make disciples." Meaning, part of us going as the church is a part of our everyday life. It's everything that we do. Now, sometimes I've used terminology incorrectly. Please forgive me. I've said things like, you know, maybe someday God ought to call you into full-time ministry. That is an inaccurate biblical statement. Every one of us are in full-time ministry when we accept Jesus Christ. You know the difference? We just all work at different jobs to pay the bills, put food on the table, and put a roof over our head. But when God called us, we're all in full-time ministry. And so where he says, "as you go," meaning our mission is, our ministry is simply to share Jesus wherever we go. And so if you're a student, or you're a businessman, or you're a nurse, or a doctor, or a teacher, or a construction worker, that is your ministry. And the people that God places in front of you, as you go, simply share the love of Jesus. Make a difference in your church, outside your church, make a difference with your church. How do you do that? By your prayers, by praying for our missionaries by name, by praying for our pastors and staff by name. You make a difference with our church by giving generously. Because you will notice as you get our annual report, we are now sharing the gospel in different ministries in 28 different countries. in the world. We are now partnering with 72 different churches and organizations. And if you're not careful, you see, you look at that and you say, well, I'm not involved in that. I've never been to one of those mission fields. Not everybody can go, but everybody can pray and everybody can give so that others can go. And so when you give on all the campuses, you get to see lives being changed on your campus every week. And also you realize that you're giving, your resources are being multiplied to reach literally thousands all over the world. We said we're trying to grow by 10% in all areas of our church. Every area this year we grew beyond 10%, except in our general fund giving. We only grew by 3%. And so that's an area that as believers in Christ, we need to step back and reevaluate our generosity to expand the mission. When you add in the Step Up campaign, it was a 25% increase, but that campaign, the money was used for capital expansion. It was not used for operating expense. As I said, where there's no vision, the people perish. But where there's no money, the vision perishes. I want to encourage you to give consistently. I want to encourage you to give generously. 10% is not the end point. It's the beginning point in our obedience and our blessing of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to give online. Almost 60% of our members give online. My wife and I give online. It becomes the number one priority out of our check every time, whether we're here or not. Now, there's only one struggle with giving online, and it happens to me. When that bucket comes by on our campuses and you see hardly no money in there, you think this place is going broke. And somebody looks at you, and when I'm sitting and Mark and Todd are preaching and it goes by, and they look at me like, dude, the preacher ain't even giving anything. I want to throw up my hands and say, I give online. And so we all feel, I pray that we'll have some day where we'll just have a box at the back for the 5% that want to, you know, give by check. But 95% of us will give online, and then that gives 4 extra minutes for the sermon. Okay, not sure that's going to carry, do you? All right. So we exist to win people to Christ, train believers to become disciples, and send disciples to impact the world. Now, what's the 2014 challenge before us? Our theme this year is the power of one. We want you to understand, in a big church, it's easy to say, man, they don't need me. They're not going to miss me. Nothing is farther from the truth. Every one of you is needed to pray and serve and give and share, because almost 90% of people in this valley don't go to church. They don't know Jesus Christ. And so the challenge before us, as I said, this month we're going to contact every member and say, how can we pray for you, and how can we let you know that you matter and we want to get you connected? Secondly, we probably won't get it rolled out till the fall because we're already working on it. How can we develop a spiritual growth action plan where you can say, hey, this is where I think I am, and here's the tools that we will develop to help each of you go to the next level. Again, we want to grow at least by 10% in all areas. Next, we want to expand our residency program from 25 students to 40 students next year. Some of you may not know that we sat down with Christian colleges and we said, you know, there seems to be a struggle that the college, Christian colleges and universities are not turning out leaders for the local church like they need to. How can we work together? And they admitted there was a problem. We met with several Bible college presidents and we said we'll start out with 25 residents. And the goal was they would go 3 years, they'd finish their fourth year on our campus, and then they would go back to their colleges and graduate. Those credits would be transferred back. So we started out this first year with 25, now from 8 different colleges, but it didn't go as we planned. We planned on it being fourth year students, but a third of the residents are finishing their fourth year. A third of those, a couple colleges came along and said, we'll come alongside of you and do a master's in 1 year. So a third of them are doing their master's, and also a third are simply members at CCV that said, I want to audit the courses. I'm already graduated from a college, but I want to take this extra training so that maybe I can be involved in church ministry. So we have a third, and those first year have been incredible. Why do we do this? Number one, to raise up future leaders for the church. Secondly, a statistic caught us completely off guard. 85% of Bible college graduates that go into ministry drop out of ministry in the first 5 years. 85%. That's tragic. And we said, how can we help prepare these men and women better so that they are not a casualty to drop out from ministry? And so they're just some incredible residents, and we believe we're going to try to expand for 40 next year. Also, this year, we want to enlarge the Surprise Worship Center. The Surprise campus is already in 5 services. 3 services, they're in overflow. They grew by over 30% on that campus alone this past year. And so we're going to double their worship space. Secondly, we've been talking and we're getting the plans almost through the city. We're going to open our Avondale campus in the fall. That's planning on being our 5th campus, and this is what you will see, the plans there. It's going to be an incredible strategic location, real close to I-10 and the 101, and also we're adding 5 acres there for extra parking and also for a recreation field, and we're looking forward to that starting in August at our fall kickoff. Now, as I said, we always thought Avondale was going to be our 5th campus this year, but just as recently as this week, I'm here to announce today that Avondale will not be our 5th campus, it'll be our 6th campus. Our 5th campus will be a campus in Anthem. We have, for the last 2 or 3 months, we've been talking with the pastor of the church in Anthem, Fellowship Church. At one time, that church, largest church in town, running about 1,000 in attendance. Now they're down to about 200, and he said, we're not being effective. We've looked around at all the churches, and we believe CCV is the most effective for us to say, would you please come up and try to reach this city for Jesus Christ? So our method has always been, we pray, we trust God, we go through open doors. If God opens a door, we move forward. If God closes, we back up so that we kind of can be in his timing. We weren't planning on this at all right? But things continued to work out. We began to look. We have over 1,500 people in the Anthem area that come to the Peoria campus, which is about 20 miles north of the Peoria campus. And so we met with them. Last week, we signed an agreement to lease their facility. They're having their last service this weekend. We will take 2 months to do a makeover there. And we'll have our first service there April the 6th, which is 2 weeks before Easter. We will open with 3 services, 1 on Saturday and 2 on Sunday. Okay? And so we're doing okay. Now, so if you go to the Anthem campus, get ready to step up and serve and invite your friends. The Step Up campaign, our goal was $5 million. We raised $7.5 million. And I heard many people say, well, I guess I don't have to give. What are we going to do with that extra money? We don't need any more money. Nothing could be farther from the truth. God already knew what we would need. All of that money will be used to upgrade and build out 4 campuses. $1 million was used to upgrade the East Valley campus. Over $1 million will be used for the Surprise Worship expansion. Probably $700,000 will be used for the Anthem upgrade, and the rest will be used for the Avondale build-out. So God knew, before we did, that if you gave extra by faith, he would expand our ministry by faith. I want to say to you, God is truly blessing this ministry. This week, I sat down and about had a heart attack. Here's what I realized. In 2011, we were 1 campus. In 2012, we were 3 campuses. In 2013, we were 4 campuses. And in 2014, God willing, we will be 6 campuses. And God is doing some amazing things on all of our campuses. Bible says, God is able. I want you on all of our campuses to say out loud, God is able. That's pretty weak. We can do better than that. All campuses, God is able. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. We've asked God for some big things, and yet God surprised us with another campus we weren't even planning on. God's able to do more than we can ask or think or imagine as long as we depend upon his power to be working within us. The challenges before us at CCV this coming year are great. And I want to say to you, everyone is needed. Our theme is the power of one. You matter to God, and your witness and your commitment matters to us as well. So here's the takeaway today for all of us. I want you to really concentrate and fill out the blanks. First thing, my challenge to you, would you write down who's the one person I want to win to Christ in 2014. Write it in by name. Family member, coworker, neighbor, somebody you play golf with, somebody you work out with. Who is it? Put the name down. Just one person that I want to try to win to Christ. Second thing, one area I want to grow spiritually. You might say, you know what? One of the reasons the giving was down this year is I didn't step up and tithe. I wasn't generous. Or you might say, you know what? I've never served faithfully. Or I don't want to be one of those 50% that never share my faith. I'm gonna have some boldness this year. Or I'm going to read through the Bible. What is one area that you say I want to grow spiritually? And then thirdly, what's the one place that I want to impact? You'd say, this is where God's placed me. I'm in full-time ministry, and I want to impact my workplace. Or you might say, I want to impact my school, or I want to impact my neighborhood. Or maybe you would say, you know what? My prayer is at the end of this year, all of my family would know Jesus Christ. I want to make a difference in my family. That's the challenge that God's placed before us. That's the challenge that as your pastor, I want to place before you. This is going to be an incredible year as we step back and realize God is able to do more, immeasurably more than we can ask or think. But you know what? We're going to ask big things. We're going to believe big things. We're going to trust God for big things. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. It is all about you. Thank you for this past year. It has been incredible. We thank you for the lives changed. We give you all the glory and honor. We look forward to the challenges you place before us. Help us, Lord, to be obedient, to walk the talk, whether it's in serving or sharing or being generous. Lord, remind us that even though the church is big, the devil tries to tell us it won't make any difference. Lord, remind us that every one of us is needed to fulfill the vision, that together we can make a difference and impact this valley for Jesus Christ. Lord, this church is yours. We are your servants, and we look forward by stepping out in faith to do whatever you've called us to do. In your name we pray, amen.